إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Who Allah guides, there is no one that can lead Him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide Him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session reading from the topic Awamil Islah al-Mujtama'i by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Baz rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue right where we left off last week, going into the heart of the topic that the Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah intends to present. But before we do that, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week. So we're going to look at the study guide for lecture number 2. Originally, I think there were 8 questions, but we only covered 5 of them, so... the first five questions that we had last week, we're going to look at those quickly, and then we're going to go into the topic for tonight. So the first question being, discuss the first point, which the author, rahimahullah, after his introductory or opening words, and after his mentioning of the title of the talk, what is the first point that he makes in this topic? Now,
المجتمع في أشد الحاجة إلى الإصلاح المجتمع الإسلامي وغير الإسلامي وغير
الإسلامي. نعم. Meaning
the society that is in dire need of change or of rectification is the Islamic society and also the non-Islamic society.
Okay, the society, the Islamic society and even non-Islamic society are in dire need of rectification. Anything else somebody wants to add to that? Very important what the Sheikh said. Very important. He said they're in dire need of rectification. Meaning, what would be the means of rectification? Now, that he mentions in the opening statement.
Is there holding on the Quran?
Before that. We didn't come to that point yet. And he says that the society is in dire need of rectification, meaning they are in dire need of traveling upon the path that the Prophet ﷺ traveled upon and taking hold of, utilizing the means, the awamil, the asbab, the wasail that the Prophet ﷺ utilized. The people are in need of traveling upon a nahaj, a sawi, the straight path, and utilizing the means that would be the source of his rectification. The society is in dire need of this. And this is important, brothers and sisters, because the Shaykh, he is establishing a point that the society is in need of rectification, of correction, of reformation. And that need is fulfilled by traveling upon the straight path, the correct way, the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and utilizing the means that he used in order to rectify the society in his lifetime. Now, second thing, memorize and explain the statement of the renowned Imam of Darul Hijra, rahimahullah, the illustrious jurist from the 4 Imams. The statement, his statement, and the meaning of it. Naam, Omar?
Wa Imam Malik, rahimahullah, ayyisa hadhihi al-ummata illa ma aslaha awwalaha
طيب. Did anybody memorize it a different way? Yani the Sheikh mentioned it two ways. He mentioned the statement of Imam Malik. Yani it's been recorded in different wording. Naam. Anybody else memorize the statement of Imam Malik? Naam. Abdul Haq. Yani in the first statement he said yasluhu, and this one he said yuslih. Naam. Naam. The meaning of this statement, somebody else. What is the meaning of this statement? What is the meaning of this statement? I mean, the translation of it. The translation of it. Naam. What is the translation? Naam. Follow.
Nothing will correct that this. Akhirah. Will correct
the latter.
The latter ummah. The latter of this ummah, except that was brought correction to it initially.
Initially. The former. The beginning, the first. Naam. Yani that there's nothing. There will never be anything that will rectify, that will correct, that will improve, that will reform, yani will restore the latter part of this ummah, except that which rectified the first part of it, the former. This is what he said. And then the Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, what is the meaning of this? And he says, what is the meaning of, what is the meaning of this statement? Naam. Anybody else want to answer instead of, he already answered. Somebody else want to share? No, Muhammad, we'll come back to you, Omar, if we need your help, inshallah.
The meaning is that, to return back to the sunnah.
Okay, to return back to the sunnah. Anybody else want to add to it? Musa?
That the people have to be on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his companions be upon.
To be upon the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions were upon, naam.
Which is, it's da'u al-kitab Allahi wa sunnati
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, that's all of it's correct, but specifically the Shaykh, he said the meaning of this is, now, I mean that's correct, but the wording that he used is very important because he's explaining the statement of Imam Malik in a way that he's explaining each part of it. Now,
it's given here, we didn't reach that yet,
before that, just the statement of Imam Malik. And the meaning of the statement of Imam Malik, his literal statement, is that nothing will ever rectify the latter part of this ummah except that which rectified the first part of it. So Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says the meaning of this is that which rectified the first part of it, it was taking hold of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the same thing which will rectify the latter part. And he's just explaining the exact statement of Imam Malik, but he's explaining it in other words.
Yeah,
in other words. Okay? Yes. Yani that which rectified the first part of this ummah, it was the adhering to the Quran and Sunnah. And that is the very thing, and the only thing that will rectify the latter part of it. Yani adhering to the Quran, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about it last week, but I just want to reiterate the point that this statement was made by Imam Malik, and other scholars of that time and after that time agreed with what he said. And it is an important statement that we have to dwell upon, reflect upon, and internalize in our lives. Yani the reality that the society will never be reformed except that we return to the Book and the Sunnah. This is the only way. There's no yani modern movement or different kind of way that the people came up with, whatever they came up with, whether it was Sufism, whether it was yani traveling the lands, whatever they call it, Jola, or whatever the people came with, none of that will rectify the society. Only thing that will rectify the society is that which rectified the first part of this ummah, yani, which it was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third question, outline that which. This is a very important question, and perhaps it may be difficult to answer it the way I'm hoping, but in any case, yani, we can always go back to the book and look at it, right? Outline that which the author describes as the sabil. Yani when he said innama as-sabil ila islah an-nas yani wa iqamatuhum ala at-tariq as-sawi. Naam. What the author describes as the sabil to the people's rectification, yani the islah of the nas, of the people, and their establishment upon the straight path, ala at-tariq as-sawi, iqamatuhum ala at-tariq as-sawi. How has he described this? Yani the Imam, he has described this in some great detail. So maybe somebody may also want to help us as Abdul Haq begins to explain it. First, number one, point number one, inayat bil Quran al Azim. Al inaya bil Quran al Azim. Meaning, anyone?
Care.
Yani taking real care, giving attention to the Quran, Al Quran Al Azim. Yani this tremendous, magnificent book, the Quran. Point two. Wa inayati bi sunnati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And giving the same kind of care and attention. Yani caring, yani this means that it's not just something that yani we can take or leave, that we can attend to it sometime and leave it at other time. We have to give it our full attention and care. Yani the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, da'watun nas ilayhima, and calling the people to these two sources, yani the Quran and the sunnah. This is critical. Yani this is the path, this is the sabil, this is the tariq. This is not the awamil, the asbab, the wasail. This is the tariq, this is the way. And when we're on that way, then there are certain means that we're going to utilize as we're on that road in order to rectify the society. This is the way. Yani giving care to the Quran, care to the sunnah, calling people to the Quran and sunnah. Calling people to it. Naam. قبل هذا التفقه. التفقه فيهما. يعني تفقه فيهما meaning? Understanding, seeking the fiqh, the fahm, the understanding of the book and the sunnah. Not just يعني reading the Quran a lot and calling people to the Quran, but actually understanding. تفقه يعني searching, seeking, striving to understand the book and the sunnah. نعم. And then he said ونشرح ما بين الناس على علم وبصيرة. على علم والبصيرة. يعني meaning spreading this, يعني the book and the sunnah amongst the people, but based upon knowledge and insight. Not just spreading knowledge and you don't really have knowledge. You're spreading, you're calling people to the Quran and you're trying to spread يعني what's in the Quran, but you don't have knowledge yourself. You don't have insight into it. على علم وبصيرة. That means that people have to have knowledge. And this is why the people of Sunnah stress the importance of seeking knowledge. Because if you don't have knowledge, how will you spread? How will you call people without knowledge? Call people based on ignorance? It's not possible. And then he said, يعني الإناية بالقرآن والسنة والتفقه الدعوة الناس والتفقه فيها والنشرهما. And then he said, إيضاح ما دل عليه هذان الأصلان من الأحكام في العقيدة العقيدة الأساسية الصحيحة ومن الأعراء التي يجب على المجتمع الأخذ بها. يعني the last point the Sheikh makes is that what? That يعني clarifying إيضاح, clarifying, not leaving the people in darkness to figure it out for themselves. But once you have knowledge and basira, clarifying for the people, al-idah, yani that which is that which these two sources point to, what they point to, what they indicate of ahkam, of rulings and laws and judgments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two areas, fil aqidah al-asasi al-sahiha, yani the يعني fundamental, authentic aqidah, the fundamentals of the correct aqidah. يعني at least the people have to know the fundamentals of the correct aqidah, if they don't know every fine point. And also, al-arah means the ahkam al-fiqhiyah, يعني في العبادة والأعمال. يعني arah, those views of the scholars, of the people of sunnah, يعني which the ummah is يعني required to take hold of, to adhere to stick to follow. يعني in terms of the fiqh, of our deen, the aqidah, and also the fiqh, the jurisprudence. And he also added to this, yani finally he said, and bayan, yani bayan al-maharam, wa bayan al-hudud, and he means by hudud, both those things which Allah has prohibited, and those things which Allah has made obligatory upon us. Okay, so this, yani please go back and like review this particular point, because this is the tariq. Yani the Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, knowing who he is and the status of him as a scholar and as a reformer, and as a person who gave care to the Muslim society and to the society in general, and to the people, individuals, and as a group. He has outlined here something for us, which is very important for us to reflect upon. Even if you didn't memorize it, comprehend it and understand every aspect of it, because each aspect is essential. Each aspect of it is essential. Yani giving care to the Quran and giving care to the Sunnah and calling the people to them and yani understanding them and spreading them based on knowledge and based on insight. And then clarifying for the people that which they contain of ahkam and related to our aqidah and related to our yani legal rulings, ibadah and amal and so on. Naam. This particular question, like I said, is a little bit detailed, but in any case, yani go back and read and reflect and contemplate and have some discussion about it until yani it settles in our mind, and go back and look at it again and again and again until we ask ourselves, is this the path that we are upon? Question number four, discuss the first act or the first step taken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once he was commissioned by Allah to call the people to al-Islam. What was the first step? The first thing that he set up, the first thing that he called to, that he yani guided the people to, naam, and he traveled upon.
The first thing he called people towards Tawheed, towards believing in the oneness of Allah and making like this purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, the first thing he called the people to was the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani to recognize, to acknowledge, to understand, yani to accept and to submit to the reality of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah alone is the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of all the worlds, the one who provides, the one who protects, the one who controls all the affairs, and therefore he's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And therefore, yani he said what? Call the people to Tawheed of Allah, and also
Ikhlas
al-ibadah lillah, yani making the worship, yani meaning implementing that Tawheed of Allah, implementing it and making the worship for Allah alone and making all worship of every type for Allah alone.
And also bayan
tafasil dhalik. And the bayan, naam, irshadun ila tafasil dhalik, yani meaning yani the details of the Tawheed, yani the details of Tawheed, not just the Tawheed as some of the people think. Alhamdulillah, we believe in Tawheed, this is our foundation. Tawheed means there's only one God, and that's it. And some of them say you don't really need a lot of details, you can learn Tawheed in one sitting or one small pamphlet, one of them said. No, the details of Tawheed, because the ignorance of the people in even saying that there's no God but Allah, yani the ignorance of the people in making that statement indicates the need to understand the details of Tawheed. Indeed, there are many gods besides Allah, but none of them deserve to be worshipped except Allah. And this is very important to understand. The people just say, there's no God but Allah. Allahu musta'an. Naam, and the Prophet spent the first part of his yani mission in Mecca just calling people to this Tawheed, and establishing the worship for Allah alone. Final question, mention the two fundamentals, Aslan, which are the foundation, the asas of rectification, yani islah, of this ummah. What are the two fundamentals that are the foundation of rectification of the ummah? Naam. Fadl.
Huma al-shahadatani.
Shahadatani.
La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Naam, the two foundation, the two fundamentals are the two statements, yani the two, yani the shahadatan, yani the statement, yani of bearing witness that there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. These two fundamentals are the foundation of Islam, and they are likewise the foundation of islah al-mujtama'. And this is to make us to understand that it is Islam that can rectify the society, and only Islam. Yani the Shaykh said that these two fundamentals, that they are the foundation, the asas of Islam, and he said they are the asas of islah al-mujtama'. So that it is Islam that Yani has the ability to rectify the society, to correct, yani to restore it to its proper condition. Tonight, the last point that we talked about last week, we want to go back to the last point just so that we can connect it. The last point that we mentioned last week was where the Shaykh, rahimahullah, says that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first action that he did, the first foundation that he established, was calling the people to the Tawheed of Allah and making the worship for Allah alone. This was the first thing that he did. This was the first foundation that he talked about and called people to and traveled upon. It was calling the people to the Tawheed of Allah and guiding them to the details of that Tawheed of Allah. Then he said the word, the kalima, which points to this meaning is the saying, La ilaha illallah. This is the strong, firm foundation, and along with it is the testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. He said these two aslan, yani hadhani aslani, al asasani al muhammani, these two foundations very important, yani foundations, they are the foundation of Islam, they are the foundation of the correction of the society. Whoever takes hold of them and is upright upon them, yani acting upon them, having knowledge of them, calling to them and being patient what comes with that, then subhanAllah, this person, his affair will be upright and Allah will make him a means through which the society will be corrected in accordance with the effort that he makes and his ability and the means that he has access to in order to yani do this work. Whoever leaves these two foundations or even one of them, that person will be lost and destroyed. That was the last point that we read last week, and today we want to go yani to the next point. The Shaykh says, لَمَّا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَأَنزَلَ الْقُرْآنَ كَانَ أَوَّلْ مَا نَزَلَ عَلَيْهِ اِقْرَى ثُمَّ الْمُدَثِّرُ. Yani, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, missioned His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, He revealed the Qur'an when He missioned him and He began to reveal the Qur'an to him. The first thing that He revealed was Iqra, meaning the surah, yani the 96th surah of the Qur'an, Iqra. And this, the scholars say, is the establishment of his nubuwwah, that he became a prophet. And then the Shaykh says, and then he revealed to him al-mudathir. And this is the establishment of his risala, yani the establishment of him being sent as a messenger to the people, to call the people and to warn the people. So what did he do? And by the way, Surah al-Mudathir is the 74th surah of the Qur'an. And we should go back and look at these surahs to see, yani this came first and this came after, and what is the yani meaning and significance of this sequence. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a result of this, he went out to the people, qama ila an-nas yanzuruhum wa yad'uhum ila tawhidillah. So he went out to the people and he began to yani warn the people, and he began to call the people to the tawhid of Allah, and he warned them against the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla. And he said to them, O my people, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. And he said to the people in clear, simple language, say لا إله إلا الله. And of course, the meaning here of say لا إله إلا الله, it doesn't just mean say the words, right? But it means say it, yani understanding its meaning, knowing what it requires, and then acting upon it. Because in order for لا إله إلا الله, yani to be accepted, to be valid, to be of benefit to a person, it has to, there are conditions that have to be fulfilled. So the meaning here is not just say La ilaha illallah. Naam. And then that's sufficient. Rather, it means to know what it means and to yani comply with its conditions and its requirements. He said to the people, say La ilaha illallah, tuflihu, and you will be successful. Meaning you will have success in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the next life. You will be in paradise. فاستكبر المشركون واستنكروا هذا. So what did they, what was the response of the mushrikun? يعني استكبر. استكبر. يعني they responded out of pride and arrogance. They rejected his call. They denied it. They rejected it due to their pride and arrogance, and due to their ignorance. The Shaykh says, why did they respond with arrogance and disapproval of what he was calling them to? لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي اَعْتَادَوهُ. وليس الأمر الذي أدركوا عليه أسلافهم. He mentions two reasons why they responded out of pride and arrogance, rejecting the call of the Prophet ﷺ. The first reason is because this thing that he was calling them to, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was not that which they were accustomed to. It wasn't something that they knew in their society. They didn't have this idea. This wasn't part of their life, part of their thinking, part of their belief, part of their social structure. La ilaha illallah. It wasn't something they were accustomed to. It was strange. And perhaps we also find that amongst the people when we are calling them to Islam, to La ilaha illallah, it's strange to them. It's strange. And people might reject it just out of that, because they're not accustomed to it. So a person in calling people has to know that people might, you come with something they're not accustomed to, their natural response is to reject it. So you have to know that when you call people, that their natural response may be to reject it. But don't give up with that, because that's natural. You bring something new that people are not used to, they're not going to be attracted to that. Usually, people are not going to be attracted to something they're not accustomed to. The Shaykh, he said, and the other reason, he said, because this thing that he was calling them to was not what they found their ancestors upon. It was not what they found their ancestors calling to, believing, living by. They didn't find the people who came before them saying anything about La ilaha illallah. Rather, what they found their ancestors upon in their society was shirk, worshipping many gods. So for this reason, it was something that was different. It was strange. They were not accustomed to it. And they had not found the people before them upon this way. And the same thing we found today. Now when you call people to Islam, they didn't find, yani, that their parents or their grandparents was upon something like this. Rather, they were upon worshipping idols in the Catholic Church, or worshipping Jesus in the other yani denominations. Yani, the Catholics, they worship Jesus and the so-called yani, the mother of God, they call it. A'udhu billah. They worship a lot of gods. And then they have statues. Okay? So when you call them to Tawheed, it's something they haven't been accustomed to. It's not what they found their fathers upon. My parents and grandparents, they said, we don't know about this. It's something different. So naturally, they may not respond favorably initially. But a person has to yani persevere and not give up and be patient. What did they say? Yani, the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا, due to this being something they weren't accustomed to, something they didn't find their forefathers upon, وَلِهَذَا, for this reason, استنكروه. That's why they showed aversion to it, disapproval of it, rejection of it. وَقَالُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Yani, what did they say? They said, have he made Al-Aliha, all of the gods that we have a lot of gods. Has he made all of them into just one god? Indeed, this is something very strange. Ujab, Mubalagha, very strange, extremely strange. Now, perhaps you might think that it's strange just because yani it was something they weren't accustomed to. Not only that, but rather, when you look at the tafsir of this ayah, you'll find something very interesting. It was their concept of Allah that made it difficult for them to accept what the Prophet ﷺ was calling them to. It was their concept. They didn't have a concept of an ilah that was azim, supreme, that was alim, all-knowing, that was qawi, strong, powerful. They didn't have this concept of an ilah that has the ability, al-fa'ul lima yurid, the one who does whatever he wills. Rather, they had a concept of a lot of small, weak, defective little gods. One yani who can attend to this, and they need another one to attend to something else, and another one to attend to something else. This was their idea of God, that there have to be a lot of gods, everyone yani having some responsibility. Yani, like people. And if you have a job to be done, you have to have a lot of people, everybody to do part of the job. So that's how they looked at their ilah. In the tafsir of Jalalain, it says, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا. Has he made all of the gods into one god? Meaning, yani when he said to them, say la ilaha illallah, they said, كَيْفَ يَصَعُ الْخَلْقُ كُلَّهُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. How can just one god, yani, encompass and take care of the whole creation, everything in existence? One single god take care of the whole creation? How is that possible? That's what they meant by, yani, this is something strange. Yani, has he made all the gods into one god that can do all of this? That all our gods are doing? You only got one god who can do all of that? This is very strange to them. They said, this is something extremely strange. In the tafsir of Al-Izz ibn Abdus Salam, he said, similar to that, he said, when the Prophet ﷺ, لما أمرهم بكلمة التوحيد قالوا أَيَصَعُ لِحَاجَتِنَا جَمِيعًا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Yani, can one God take care of all of our needs? Everything in the creation has needs. One God is going to take care of all that? هذا شيء أجهاب. This is strange. And the tafsir of Ibn Athiyah, he said something similar to that. He worded it in a different word, a different way. He said that the pagans of the Quraysh, they were amazed at this statement, and that they thought it was very strange that a prophet would come to them and he's going to make all the gods that they have one god. So they said, كَيْفَ يَكُونُ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ يَرْزُقُ الْجَمِيعَ وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ أَمْرِهِمْ. Yani, how is it possible that one god is going to provide for everyone? And one god is going to attend to every affair of every creature. How can one God do all of that? This is something, yani, strange. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Saadi has a more lengthy discussion of this, but for the sake of time, yani, I'll refer you to it. Please go back and try to look at it. What he said, yani, how he explains, yani, their amazement at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man from amongst them sent to them to guide them back to the right way and to call them to Tawheed and to teach them. And they thought that was strange, that somebody, a man from amongst them, should be sent to them. But that's the way it should be, that one from amongst the people should be sent to them, speaking the language of the people, somebody that they know, somebody that they can accept. They thought that was very strange, when in fact, yani, that was the way it should have been. After this, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, yani, after this, they said, he said, وَقَالُوا, another one of their statements, yani, this came in Surah As-Saffat 30, يعني 7th Surah 36 آيات. وَقَالُوا أَإِنَّنَا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتَنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. يعني, are we going to leave all of our gods for a insane poet? يعني, they made him a poet and they also made him insane. أعوذ بالله من ذلك. And they know that this was not true. But that's what they said. Yani, are we going to leave our gods that we are worshipping, that our forefathers worshipped, and that we continue to worship, we're going to abandon them for a insane poet? وَقَبْلَهَا قَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And before that, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّنَا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Yani, here the Shaykh is going back to the ayat before that to clarify, yani, why they were saying that. Yani, whenever it was said to them, yani, say la ilaha illallah, yani, accept la ilaha illallah, then they, yani, responded with out of pride and arrogance, and they denied and rejected it, and then they would say, shall we leave all of our gods for an insane poet they were referring to, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Shaykh says, and then Allah, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِقَوْلِهِ, Allah responded to their saying, shall you leave, yani, your gods for an insane poet? He said, بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Yani, this is the following ayah in Surah As-Saffat, 37th ayah. Yani, he said, Allah is saying, rather, it is not that you're going to leave your gods for an insane poet, rather, he has come with the truth. Yani, what he has brought is the truth. And you should leave whatever you are upon a falsehood for the truth. And he has also confirmed the truthfulness of the messengers who came before him. He has come with the truth and he confirms the truth of the messengers before him. And some of the scholars said concerning this that it means, yani, he confirms the truth of the messengers before him, meaning he comes saying the same thing that they said, calling to the same thing that they called to. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, not only that, but he confirms the truth of the messengers before him, in that he confirms that they were truthful. When they said, a prophet is going to come to you, and then he came. So he proved them to be true, in that they said, a prophet is going to come, and he came. Not only did he agree with what they were saying, but he also fulfilled the prophecy of the prophets, all who came before him, from all of each of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant from them to inform their people that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in their time, that they must believe in him and follow him. So all of the prophets told their people that he was coming, and then he fulfilled that prophecy. After this, the Shaykh, he says, and this was the response of the Quraysh to the Prophet ﷺ. This is history, but the lesson in it is for the people who came after that, the people who took on the mission of the Prophet ﷺ to call people to Islam, to call people to Tawheed. Know that the people may respond the same way, and maybe even for some of the same reasons. So there's a lesson in this, to know that even if they initially respond out of pride, respond arrogantly, and reject and deny the message that they are being called to, yet if a person is firm upon this path and follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ and utilize the means that he has shown us, then as he was successful, the people who came after him can also be successful, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But if we don't do what he did and travel his path, then it will be disastrous. The Shaykh says, وَبِسَبَبِ تَسَاهُلِ الْكَثِيرِ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَطَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ وَآيَانَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ الَّذِينَ فَقِّهُ تَوْهِيدَ اللَّهِ بِسَبَبِ التَّسَاهُلِ فِي هَذَا الْعَصْلِ الْعَصِيلِ انْتَشَرَ الشِّرْكِ فِي الْبُلْدَانِ فِي بُلْدَانِ كَثِيرَةِ وَعُبِدَتْ الْكُبُورُ وَأَهْلُهَا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَصُرِفَ لَهَا الْكَثِيرُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. Due to the leniency or the negligence or the carelessness of many of the scholars, and the Shaykh said, Al-Kathir min al-Ulama, many of the scholars, due to their negligence, their carelessness, their leniency in this affair, and likewise the carelessness and the negligence of the students of knowledge and the influential, important people in the Muslim society, who understood the Tawheed of Allah, but due to their negligence, their carelessness, and this goes to each one of us. Perhaps, we understand Tawheed, and we know the importance of Tawheed, but we might have been careless, negligent, and we didn't call people to it. Not the Muslims or the non-Muslims. Maybe the people around us are violating the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in worship and in other areas, and we have been, careless about the matter. We have been negligent. So what would be the result of this? The Shaykh says, due to the carelessness of the people, the scholars, many of the scholars, not all of them, but many of the scholars, and the students of knowledge, and the influential people in the society who understood Tawheed, due to their carelessness and their negligence of this, very important, critical, fundamental, then shirk has spread in many of the lands. And we're talking about the lands of the Muslims. The land of Kufar is shirk. It is aslan shirk. In the Muslim lands, shirk has spread, widespread in many Muslim lands. And the graves and those who are in the graves are worshipped in place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Muslim lands. Go to Al-Qahira. In the biggest city in Egypt. And go to the biggest masjids and you'll find graves in them. And people worshipping at those graves. Don't mention going to Pakistan and India. And I'm not like Kani. I'm saying it doesn't matter whether it's in the Arab countries or whether it's in the subcontinent of India or whether it's in the African countries. Shirk is widespread in the Muslim lands. Somebody has to move a car? Allahumma musta'an. He said that shirk is widespread in many lands, and the graves have become, yani, places of worship, and those who are in the graves are worship instead of Allah, and much of the worship that belongs to Allah is directed to other than Allah. So you have this one, yani, some of the people supplicating to the one who's buried in the grave, supplicating to a person that's dead in the grave. And some of us might find that strange, but it is common in Africa, in Asia, and in the Arab lands. It's common. Naam. وَهَذَا يَسْتَغِيثُ بِهِ. And this one is seeking, yani, from the dead person in the grave to rescue them, to save them, to help them out of some desperate situation. And this one is making a vow to the person in the grave. I vow to do such and such and so on and so on. I'm trying for some favors. And this one is asking for al-madad, yani asking for support or aid or assistance from somebody in the grave. And the Shaykh said, this is just like what the Quraysh used to do. And yani, other than the Quraysh, in the Jahiliyyah, what they used to do with the idol al-Uzza. And just like other than the Quraysh, used to do with al-Lat and al-Manat. And what they used to do with their various idols that they worshipped. The same thing that those pagans were doing, the same thing the Muslims are doing today. Same thing. No different. Outright open shirk. And it is just as the mushrikeen in every time did with their asnam and their awthan. Yani with the idols that they made with their own hands, and with those things that they worship that were in the nature, yani the stones or the trees or the things in nature. Just like the mushrikeen do, and every time the Muslims began to do likewise. في تعظيم والدعاء والاستغاثة والتمسع والتبرك وطلب المدد. Yani the exaltation and glorification of other than Allah, supplicating to other than Allah, seeking to be rescued or to be saved from other than Allah. Yani seeking blessings or barakah from things in the creation by touching something, as we see, for example, in Mecca and Medina, people come from some of the lands where shirk is widespread as the dominant way, and they're touching the poles and touching the walls and rubbing on everything. And those walls are tile that was made in Italy, and those poles are yani imported from somewhere else, and it's nothing sacred about it, and there's no blessing in rubbing it or touching it, and there's certainly no barakah going to come out of those. And he created things. He said, this is from the traps or the plots of shaitan, and from the traps of shaitan, and indeed he is most eager and most diligent in trying to remove the people from their aqidah and from their deen, and in trying to distance them from their aqidah and from their deen by every means possible. Yani this is from the traps and the plots of shaitan to remove the people specifically from their aqidah and generally from their deen, to distance them from it. After this, the Shaykh says, yani this is the end result of the carelessness, the negligence, the leniency of the scholars, or many of the scholars and the students of knowledge and the people in the Muslim societies who understood Tawheed, but they neglected to give it its proper attention and care. فَالْوَاجِبْ عَلَى طَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ. So what is obligatory upon the students of knowledge? And the students of knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, are not just yani those people who are well-known, yani people of knowledge, yani big, yani famous, knowledgeable people who may not necessarily be major scholars, but they are well-known people. Rather, the students of knowledge are all of the Muslims who understand the importance of the Sunnah and the Aqidah and Islam, and who are reading a book from a scholar, or going to a lecture, or listening to a khutbah, and trying to learn about their deen. Every Muslim who understands the importance and seriousness of seeking knowledge, who understands that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim." Every Muslim who understands that it's obligatory to seek knowledge, then you became a talabul ilm. So the Shaykh is addressing all of us, especially the people of Sunnah, who know the importance of seeking knowledge. He's saying that it is obligatory, al-wajib, upon the student of knowledge. And they are the hope of this ummah after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice the Shaykh said, they are the hope of this ummah after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Because our hope is in Allah, first and foremost. But there are also people that might take on the mission of the Prophet ﷺ and call people to Islam. And we have hope in those people that they will fulfill the task. But after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the future leadership. They are the men of the future. And the Shaykh says here, "Fi ayyi jamiyati takharraju." And he doesn't mean only from Jamia Islamiyah and Umm al-Qura and Jamia al-Imam. He said, in any university that they are graduating from. So he didn't specify that yani the students that he's talking about here are the students of yani the Jamia Islamiyah or the Jamiat al-Islamiyah. He means every student that's in the university, yani if he understands his role as a Muslim and the importance of da'wah and the importance of tawheed, then he's talking about them also. Every student, أَيِّ جَامِيَةٍ تَخَرَّجُوا مِنْ. Doesn't matter what university he's studying in. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning, the first lecture, the students that he's addressing are not Jamia Islamiyah or Jamia al-Imam. He's addressing the students at the University of Petrol and Minerals. That's the students that he's talking to. And he's saying, you and every other student. He's making it clear. This is the responsibility of every Muslim. Nobody's exempt from this. That you are the people, no matter what university you came from, these are the people of the future that will guide this ship بِحِكْمَةٍ وَإِخْلَاصٍ وَصِدْقٍ. Yani who will guide this ship with hikmah, with wisdom and ikhlas, sincerity and صدق, yani truthfulness. And I want to come back to this, these three points here, yani the hikmah and the ikhlas and the صدق, yani the people who will guide the ummah, who will steer the ship, have to guide it with wisdom. Yani meaning putting everything in its proper place. And they have to guide it with ikhlas. There has to be sincerity. Otherwise there is no success. And there has to be sidq. And some of the scholars said sidq means yani being truthful, not just in speech, but that that speech is in agreement with the truth that's in the heart and manifest in the actions that are in accordance with the truth that's spoken on the tongue. And I'm going to come back to this point also, because yani Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah mentioned this in his book Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, a very important point about sidq, truthfulness, that I want to share inshallah, that I think is of great importance. But in any case, the Shaykh, he says here that the obligation upon the students of knowledge, who are the hope of the future after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who guide this ummah, yani those people who will direct this ship with wisdom and sincerity and truthfulness, وَأَنْ يَعْنُوا بِالْأَسَاسِ وَأَنْ يَعْرِفُوا الْعَامِلَ الْوَحِيدَ الْعَظِيمَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْإِرْتِكَازِ. Yani that these people, yani they must give care and attention to the foundation, and they must know the single, the great single yani amil, yani element or factor or principle that the attention or the focus must be upon. They must recognize and acknowledge this great principle that all attention must be given to, وَالَّذِي يَتَّبِعُهُ مَا سِوَاهُ, and that it is the principle that everything besides it must follow it. Yani what we have to start with, he said, it is الْإِنَايَ بِالتَّوْهِيدِ اللَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصِ لَهُ. This is the great principle that attention must be given to, that focus must be upon, that everything else follows. That everything else follows, because without it, yani without this foundation, the structure will crumble. It would not stand. And what is it? He said, it is al-inaya bi-tawheedillah wa ikhlas lahu. Yani giving care to the tawheed of Allah and making everything sincerely for Him. And secondly, he said, wal-inaya bil-iman bi-Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Giving care to having iman, faith in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he is indeed the Messenger of Allah in truth. And that it is obligatory to follow him and to travel upon his way, his manhaj. Yani, believing in the Prophet ﷺ, that he is the Messenger of Allah in truth, and that it's obligatory upon us to follow him. And some people, I just heard today that somebody said, what is the proof that is there any proof that it's obligatory to face the Qibla when you're sitting in the masjid for Jumu'ah? We know that the Sahaba did it, but what is the proof that it's obligatory? Yani the proof that it's obligatory is that the Sahaba did it. And that the Prophet approved of it. And that nobody did anything else after that except followed in their way. And that even if it's not fard in the sense of the Islamic jurisprudence terminology of fard and wajib and mustahab and mubah and makruh, is fard in the sense that the sunnah of the Prophet is Islam. And it's obligatory upon us to follow his sunnah. Distinguish between the legal ruling concerning something is fard or wajib or it's mustahab or it's makruh. No, it is the sunnah of the Prophet is obligatory. There's no Islam without the sunnah. Make it clear in your mind. Don't imagine that sunnah only has one meaning. Something that's obligatory and something's not. The sunnah means the tariqah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the tariqah of the Prophet ﷺ is obligatory to be followed. Even in those things that technically in jurisprudence are not classified under fard or wajib. But the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. Whoever is not pleased with my sunnah is not from me. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to follow his sunnah. It's not wajib, it's just sunnah. Yani 30 years ago people used to say that when we didn't know any better. It's not wajib, it's just sunnah. Or maybe it was 40 years ago. Probably it was even more than 30 years ago, right? Even 30 years ago we knew better than that. But some people used to say, it's not wajib, it's just sunnah. Not understanding the difference between the various yani meanings of the expression sunnah. What does it mean? In any case, the Shaykh, he says, number one, giving care to the Tawheed of Allah and Ikhlas, and making everything purity for him alone. Number two, giving care to believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the Messenger of Allah and truth, and that it is obligatory to follow him, to follow his way. It is obligatory, the whole of his tariqah, and to travel upon his manhaj. Number three, وَأَنَّ صَحَابَتُهُمْ خَيْرُ الْأُمَّةِ, and that his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they are the best of the ummah. His companions are the best of the ummah. This is very, very important. And perhaps in the next yani session, if we have time, we'll come back to this point too. وَهُمْ أَفْضَلُهَا, they are the choice, the best, the preferable, the most excellent of this ummah. And it is obligatory to have husnul dhan bihim. Yani to think well of them. In whatever is said, whatever they did, we have to have husnul dhan and think good of it. And don't think evil of them, because they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is obligatory upon us to believe in اعتقاد عدالتهم, to believe in their يعني عدالة, that they are people of integrity, trustworthy, and that they are the best of this ummah after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they are the carriers, the conveyors of the sunnah, and they are the conveyors of the Quran. يعني they are the people who conveyed to us the Quran, and they are the people who conveyed to us the sunnah. And if they were not trustworthy, then the deen that we have shouldn't be trustworthy. But yet there are people who will say, can we trust these people? Yani, we trusted them to deliver to us the Quran. Then we must trust them to deliver to us the sunnah and the deen in its entirety. It is obligatory to travel upon their manhaj, the Shaykh said, the manhaj of Sahaba, and to be pleased with them, jami'an, all of them. Yani to say radiallahu anhum ajma'in, Allah was pleased with them, and it's obligatory upon us to be pleased with them, and to believe that they are the best of humanity, of the whole of humanity. They are the most preferable of the people after the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is as has been confirmed in the two sahihs from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam annahu qala خير الناس, the best of the whole of humanity, قرني is my generation, Sahaba, ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم, and then those who follow them, the Tabi'een, and then those who follow them, أتباعوا التابعين. This hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, يعني is only one, and there are other hadith يعني which indicate this very same point, that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a special station, a special status. that has to be recognized and accepted. And from the rights of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over us is yani to be pleased with them and to pray yani that Allah be pleased with them and to believe that they are the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers, as confirmed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his generation, meaning the companions, they are the best of humanity, and the next best is the following generation and then those that follow them. And this is in opposition, yani in contradiction to the aqidah of some of the people of deviation, especially the Rafidah Shia. And then the Shaykh says, and I have a couple of points I want to go back to, but let me just finish up to here at least, so that yani we will get this done. He said, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the best of humanity after the prophets. And they are the most superior of all humanity, أفضل الناس. And they are, يعني على مراتب في الفضل, يعني that they are on varying degrees or levels in terms of excellence and superiority. They are not all the same. So the best of them are the خلفاء الراشدون, يعني the rightly guided khalifas. And then بقية العشر المشهود لهم بالجنة. And then the rest of those who were, yani, who witness has been born for them that, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they will be in paradise. ثم الباقون على مراتبهم على حسب علمهم وفضلهم. And then the rest of the companions, yani, have also levels in accordance with their knowledge and in accordance with their virtue or their excellence. And yani, some of the scholars mentioned that after yani the Khulafa al-Rashideen and the Ashur al-Mubashir bil-Jannah, then came yani the Ahlul Badr, the people who fought in the Battle of Badr, and then came the people of Bayatul Ridwan, the people who gave the oath under the tree to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Uthman radiallahu anhu was taken captive by the people in Mecca, yani they gave the oath, yani even though they came for Umrah and they didn't come armed and prepared for warfare, they gave oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they will fight until they died and they would not return, yani until they fought yani over the taking of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And some of the scholars mentioned other than that, and yani this is where I wanted to stop today, but I want to go back a little bit to two points. The first point is yani the statement of the Shaykh that the people yani who are the hope for the future, that they would lead this ummah with hikmah and ikhlas and sidq. And I said that yani Shaykh Hafiz Hakami rahimahullah in his book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, he mentions under the issue of the conditions for ibadah, worship, he said that they are three. And we know generally that the scholars said that the conditions for worship are two, and they are number one, al-ikhlas, and number two, al-mutaba. Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah said three. The first of them being a condition for the existence of worship. It wouldn't exist without it. And the second and third of them being the two conditions for the validity of ibadah, which is ikhlas and mutaba'ah, yani following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to note what he said about the first of them. He said, sidq al-azimah. Yani that the worship, if a person is sincere and they follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their worship would be valid. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to occur. They are not going to do the worship unless they have a precondition, and that is sidq al-azima. Yani that they are truthful in their determination to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani some people said, I'm going to worship Allah, but then they didn't do anything. They said, I'm going to yani go to the university and graduate, and they didn't do anything. Truthfulness, being sincere in your determination to perform this act. The Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz rahimahullah, he said that the people who are going to guide this ummah, they should have hikmah, wisdom in the way that they act and the way that they speak. And they should have ikhlas, sincerity in their speech and in their actions, and they should have sidq. And he said here, yani the Shaykh says, what is sidq al-azimah? He said it is tark at-takasul wa-tawani, yani abandoning laziness and indifference to the matter. Yani not really caring how it's done or if it's done. وَبَذْلُ الْجُحُدِ, and exerting one's effort فِي أَنْ يَصْدُقَ قَوْلَهُ بِفِعْلِهِ, that he confirms the truthfulness of his speech by his actions. By his actions. This is necessary for the people who will guide this ummah, that not only they be sincere, but they confirm the truthfulness of their speech with actions. That we have to exert ourselves and not be lazy and not be indifferent, and we have to exert the effort. Yani the effort that proves that what we are saying is true by our actions. And he said for this point, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. The ayat. Surah As-Saff. Second, and then he mentioned the third ayat. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? You say you're going to do it, but you don't do it. You don't have Sidq al-Azima. And I just want to also mention here, yani as a benefit, the meaning of ikhlas. He says, Hafiz Haqami, rahimahullah, that al-ikhlas, أن يكون مراد العبد بجميع أقواله وأعماله الظاهرة والباطنة ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى. يعني that ikhlas, it means that the abd, the worshipper, intends by all of his speech and all of his actions, that which is done outwardly and that which is done inwardly. The actions, the physical actions of the body and the inward actions of the heart. That he intends by every speech and every action, open and secret, the seeking of the face of Allah the Most High. Yani the intention in everything that we say and the intention in everything that we do should be to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of ayats, Surah Al-Bayna, number 5, Surah Al-Layl, ayat 19 and 20, Surah Al-Insan, Surah 76, ayat 9. Mentioned a number of ayats. I'll just mention one of them where he says, yani that supports the exact wording that he came here, إِنَّمَا نُطَعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that indeed we feed you for the face of Allah. Yani literally for the honor and the pleasure and the ni'mah of seeing the face of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. It will only be for the believers. That a person is seeking the face of Allah, and Ibn Kathir said in another place that a secondary meaning is also seeking the pleasure of Allah. And we don't want from you any thanks, nor do we want any reward. Rather, we're doing whatever we're doing sincerely for the sake of Allah. And then he mentioned, like I said, other ayats, but for the sake of time. The second point that I want to make here is the maratib of the Sahaba. I want to refer you, brothers and sisters, and I wish that I could refer you to more books. This is a book that I just came across recently. I don't own it, but I was just reading through it, and I found tremendous benefit. It is the Sharh of Aqidah Tahawiyah by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Yani a commentary on the creed of Imam al-Tahawi, al-Aqidah Tahawiyah. Explanation by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. Tremendous, tremendous. I'm going to read you a couple of points from this book. It's concerning the maratib of Sahaba that the Sheikh mentions here, that the Sahaba are not all on one level, but they are varying levels. And Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says, under the title of We Love the Sahaba, and he has a lengthy discussion. Actually, yani that one subchapter came to four pages. So I'm not going to read 4 pages, but I'm going to read some points from one of those pages. He said that the Sahaba yatafadaluna, yani they vary in respect of their excellence. They are not all on the same level. So the best of them, he said, is al-Khulafa al-Rashidun al-Arba'a, the four rightly guided Khalifas, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And then he mentioned, yani a proof for this, the saying of the Prophet, alaykum bisunnati, wa sunnati khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiin min ba'di. Yani, it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas after me, to the end of the hadith. Second, he said, thumma baqi al-ashra al-mubashirina bil-jannah. After them, second, after the rightly guided Khalifas, are the remainder of the 10 people who were promised paradise. Remainder of the 10. 4 of them is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the other 6 are? Huh? Talha, Az-Zubayr, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and Abu Ubaidah, ibn Jarrah. He said, secondly, it is the 10 people who were promised paradise. ثم أهل البدر, then the people who fought in the battle of Badr. ثم أهل بيت الردوان, then the people who gave the pledge of yani of allegiance, yani of ridwan, pleasure, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the tree. And he mentions some ayats concerning these things too, but for the sake of time. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجَاهَدُوا قَبْلَ الْفَتْحِ. And then he said, after them, after the people of Badr and the Bayat al-Ridwan, he said, those who believed and fought in jihad before the conquest, then these are the best, and they are better than the companions who believed and fought after the conquest. Yani the Fat. And then he mentions the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Hadid 57:10, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ. And the Shaykh said the meaning of Fath is what? Huh? Not Fath Mecca. Al-Hudaybiyah. Al-Hudaybiyah. He said, they are not equal from amongst you, those who spent قبل الفتح, يعني قبل the Sulh of Hudaybiyah. وَقَاتَلَ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلٌّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى يعني الجنة. يعني these people are not equal. Those who believed and fought before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and those who fought, who believed and fought after, they are not equal, but Allah has promised to each of them الحسنى, that is الجنة. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah is all-knowing and aware of what you do, meaning that He will reward you, compensate you for what you did. ثُمَّ الْمُهَاجِرُونَ عُمُومًا ثُمَّ الْأَنصَارِ. And then he said, after them, yani the people who believed and fought before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he said, after them are the muhajirun, generally speaking. Yani the muhajir, generally, are preferable over all the rest of companions. And then after them, the ansar. Yani the muhajir, and then the ansar, and then the other companions besides them, right? Who were not, who didn't migrate from Mecca, and who were not in Medina, who came after that. But the muhajir, they are preferable over the Ansar. And then he mentioned some ayahs from Surah At-Tawbah, 100 ayah. And he also mentioned from Surah Hashr, yani 59 verse 8. And he mentioned, and he showed how these ayahs prove that the muhajir have been given precedence over the Ansar. And then, yani he talked about, and yani he went on to talk about the importance of believing in and loving the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and recognizing each of them for the virtue and the excellence that they have and their position. And I know that we're actually over time at this moment. I'm just going to read one last point and then I'm going to close. And the last point, yani, is a point related to, yani, the importance of having love and respect and honoring the companions of the Prophet and recognizing the evilness and the despicableness of the people who hate the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to read you from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Tafsir Ibn Kathir, 48th surah, 29th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not going to read the whole tafsir, I'm just going to read part of it that's relevant. Muhammad wa Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَاهُ أَشِدَّا عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراء ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. And the meaning of this ayah in general is that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are very stern and strong against the kuffar, and they are compassionate and merciful amongst themselves. And you see them bowing and prostrating. Allah is certifying, yani, the sincerity of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are with him. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. You see them bowing and prostrating. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرُدْوَانًا. And they are not seeking anything from this except, yani, the fadl, the bounty of Allah and His pleasure. Meaning that they are sincere in their hearts in what they are doing. And their sign is in their faces. Yani the effect of the sujood is seen in their faces. This is their likeness in the Torah. They are mentioned in the Torah. And their likeness in the Injil is like a seed that is sown. And it brings up its offshoots. And then it strengthens it. And then it makes it firm. And then it stands upon its stem or its stalk. And this is the point in the ayat that is of importance. Yani for the topic, يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاءَ. And this yani stem or this stalk or this breath, this that comes out of the ground, this growth, it is pleasing to the farmer. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, but it enrages the disbelievers. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, and then Allah said, and Allah has promised those who believe and do good deeds from amongst them, Sahaba, yani forgiveness and a tremendous reward that is Jannah. Yani ibn Kathir says that this parable in the Injil is the likeness of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who supported him and strengthened him and worked and fought with him, and they were with him, just like this seed that's sown and the shoot that comes out, that they are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. They are those who, through them, Allah enrages the disbelievers. Yani that through them Allah enraged the disbelievers. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said a long statement, but I'm going to get to the end of what he said. From this ayat, Imam Malik derived from this ayat that the Sahaba, yani this comparison to the Sahaba, that they enrage the that Allah enrages the kuffar through them. He said, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, said, yani based on this ayat, he declared the takfir, the disbelief, the kufr of the rawafid, yani the rafid, the Shia, those who hate the companions. And he said, this is because the companions, yani the existence, the presence of the companions enraged them. The thought, the mention of the companions enraged them. And whoever is enraged by the companions, that person is a kafir based on this ayat. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said, and a group of the scholars agreed with Imam Malik on this, and there are also hadith which show the excellence of the Sahaba and the prohibition of mentioning their shortcomings, and these hadith are many, and it is sufficient, yani, to support and defend them, the praise of Allah upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with them. Imam Malik rahimahullah said, this ayat is a clear indication that whoever hates Sahaba, they are kuffar. Go back and read the tafsir Ibn Kathir. Don't say, a brother said this, yani Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said this, that is what Imam Malik said, and he said, a group from amongst the companions agreed with him on this istidlal from this ayat. Naam, Surah 48, ayat 29. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.